Okay, this is the SOP working group in Temp Suite on the 22nd of June in London. And we have apologies from Debbie Monahan, Rolf Mayer, and Byron Holland. And I would like to remind everyone to say your names before you speak for transcript purposes. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Christina. And thanks, everybody, for coming. It's the beginning of a long week full of meetings with a shortage of meeting rooms, but this hotel will accommodate all of us. So we have Bart has kindly reshuffled a bit the agenda to accommodate last-minute requests relating to the availability of some ICANN staff. So after this short welcome, we will have some minutes dedicated to the review of the drafting process. Then it will be followed by presentations, CC, NSO, GNSO, Council Meeting Board, and GAC, 10 minutes. Then some logistics, administrative, quite important aspects for this working group, as Rolf is stepping down from his role as chairman of this working group. And then there should be the appointment of an interim chair and eventually a decision. And I've been invited to lock you in the room to make sure that we come to a decision for appointing a new chairman of the working group. And then we'll move to the juicy part of the meeting, which is relating to the comments that we have submitted to the operating plan and budget 2015. Fiscal year 2015, which we have submitted a couple of days ago, and then the comments that we have submitted. And for that part, we have Xavier and Tarin of ICANN were here to, respond and introduce us to, the next steps in this process. And then we have the initial response of ICANN to our input on the strategy plan, which we have provided not so long ago, because it was quite a short time frame to provide input on both the strategy plan and the fiscal year 2015 operating plan and budget. And Denise Michel will join, if I understand correctly, around 2 p.m., a little bit later for this. Would you like to, this is the draft agenda, and I'm asking if there is anybody who likes to add any other point to the draft agenda which Bart kindly produced. I understand that Rosalia is joining us remotely. Welcome, Rosalia, wherever you are.
Hi, I'm here. I'm fine. No, I have no additional points to add to the agenda.
Okay, thank you. So let's get started with the first point, which is the review of the drafting process. And Bart, or if you like to introduce this topic.
Yes. As Giovanni, this is Bart for the transcript. As you noted, we had two submissions very short order. I think that was quite an achievement of the SOP itself. I think if you look back, the method we used of creating the subgroups and providing, input, I think worked very well. Some with a delay of one or two days, but that was taking more or less into consideration. So we met all the deadlines. And it was easy, looking at the type of input that the drafting teams provided, it was easy to consolidate it. That's why so thank you for this, and also on behalf of Rudolf. And I think if you look at the output of the drafting process is, the quality is improving every cycle we do this, and we use this method. I think that's a good point. What I noted, and that's going to be hopefully not as difficult in future, We had some initial problems in scheduling, say, the starting points of the different drafting processes. And and because we had this staggered, these two staggered issues, you saw that some people were not able to participate in the working groups as well. So I don't know how the work within the smaller groups works, so maybe one or two of the chairs of these smaller working groups is able to reflect on that. But all in all, I think from a general point or from a high-level overview, I think the process we designed some time ago is still working very well. And the issue is a bit the timing and the scheduling and engaging all the members of the SOP in time. So that's maybe one or two of the chairs of the smaller working groups want to comment as well.
Peter Van Rossen from Center. I had 2 points. The first, answering Bart's question. As a chair of a smaller sub-team, we were 3 people, one of whom could not be reached. The email address just bounced. It didn't feel much like teamwork. Debbie was on my team as well, and she sent me input on both occasions. That was, as can be expected from Debbie, very, very strong. But it doesn't feel like a teamwork. It's individuals who get chopped up pieces and together get the work done collaboratively. And that brings me to the point I wanted to make. While I think it's a very efficient system to tackle a huge volume of information that needs to be processed, I felt personally that without almost reading the whole document, I couldn't properly comment on what I was supposed to comment on. If you're only looking through a keyhole at of about 6-7 pages of a document of 60-70 pages, then you're missing the big picture. And I think it's important to understand the enormous amount of work that has been gone in through this document. And in order to understand that, you basically, I think, need to read the whole thing. So chopping it up is very efficient, but I think it's also dangerous of missing some of the key points from the document.
Thank you, Peter. Anybody else? Mathieu?
Mathieu from AFNIC. Sort of an echo to Peter's comment that it's extremely difficult to create any kind of teamwork in the subgroups due, first of all, to the timelines. Secondly, to the fact that the chair of the sub-team, in my case, is often very late in understanding that something is expected. I have had 2 glitches in the last 2 contributions. But I guess I'm not the only one in that case, and so it's certainly efficient, and I think our contributions remain of very high quality. But I think it's more and more relying on a small number of persons, including Bart, on the, of course, and that should, I think, give us cause for thought about whether this system is sustainable or not.
Thank you, Mathieu. Hey. Oscar. You have Oscar. Oh, but Max just joined. Can I just say something, Giovanni, Sepia, Yurid, to endorse also what Peter and Mathieu just said. Would like also to ask is that currently the membership of this working group is a membership that, you know, from time to time there are new members. And what I've seen is that those new members, at some point, they are a bit afraid to get more proactive and to submit input like the rest of the working group has been doing so far. So I was wondering if it would be worth at some point to have probably in the next ICANN meeting or even via a video conference or a conference call to try to set sort of informal gathering of because it's quite useful and valuable working group. So an informal gathering to mingle around a bit and to make sure that we are all on the same page in the sense that we all committed to be more proactive, and also see if there are even other members that can even join, because some sub-working groups at some point have been lacking of of active people in them. So yeah, that's my view for the future.
So I've taken notes of your comments, and that's why it's a good thing. Maybe as we move forward, it might be useful, especially when this working group will have a new chair, and knowing that some of the working group members are unreachable, and some of you have been on this working group for quite some time now, and you have very busy agendas, that say at the Los Angeles meeting we'll have more an internal meeting of this working group and review the process in more depth, prepare it, and with the new chair, because by that time I hope this working group has a new chair, that we revisit and say, see how we can keep the strong points and address, say, your concerns that you just raised, especially in the small working groups. Because I think, given the pressure on timelines, etc., and one of the reasons, well, let me take a step back. One of the reasons we organized, for example, the calls with Xavier in preparation of this meeting is to provide this high-level overview in a summarized format. So that's easier for the ops plan and budget. And I hope that was helpful for the working group. But, say, moving forward, and yeah, if you have small working groups, you really rely on active participation to have input, etc. So maybe it's a good thing to have, say, with the new chair, organize a session specifically on this topic in how we engage the members more and even engage other members, because I noted some have left, like Sabina. So some do not react at all. You don't, although they're subscribed, there is no response, etc. And there may be very, very good reasons for it. But this is probably one of the core working groups of the CCNSO, and it's proved its value. And we need to work on how to strengthen it and make it sustainable. Rosalia. As you were one of the new working group chairs or smaller group chairs, do you have anything to add?
Well, I would echo actually comments that I've heard from the other members. In my group were three. One of the members could not be reached, and I did receive feedback from, actually were four members, and one of them was not able to reach him. And we worked efficiently. It was harder to work on the second deliverable because of the timeline, but at least I work pretty well. But again, it's individual. I mean, everyone gives their feedback. I did get a chance to review the overall big picture before I commented. I think that was key to provide good insight. But yeah, I mean, It's important to be active, and it helps a lot. Even as a sub leader, it's really nice when you receive the feedback from everyone else, because you realize that everyone is understanding and working together for the same purpose, and it's just nice to feel that support. But if there's a way I could help encourage new members to participate as well and be active, I would be glad to do so.
Thank you, Rosalia. Giovanni.
Thank you, Bart, and thank you for noting these comments. And I'm sure that, as you said, with the appointment of the new chairman of this working group, we'll have the chance probably to revitalize the working group at some point and make sure that we embrace a broader group, a broader representation of CCTLDs to make sure that the comments are also steered from a geographical and cultural perspective. So thanks a lot. I also leave you the floor for the next point, which is presentations, CISNSO, GNSO council meeting, and then I'll start locking the door for the next 2 points, because this is what I was briefed.
This is more a point that, say, as usual, and at the request, let's put it, let's take a step back. At the request of the SOP, the comments on the strategic plan were forwarded to the chairs of the other SOs and ACs. I still need to do it with regard to the ops plan, but I'll do it later today. And as you all have noted, other SOs and ACs are very interested in the findings of this particular working group on both the strat plan and ops plan. So it's natural, it's part of the agenda with the GNSO, with our meeting with the board, and with our meeting with the GAC. These are the three major ones. So the question is more, and I assume that Rulov will be arriving later today, and he is still chair, that he will present the findings to these different groups. That probably it's a good thing for this working group to at least to highlight the main points of the comments that, say, Rulov can take into account when presenting to these different groups. So that's more work for this working group in the sense of what does, put it the other way around, does the exec summaries of all these, of the two comments, capture what this working group wants to deliver to these different groups and on their findings?
Giovanni, as far as what concerns me, the two executive summaries, they well represent the content of the two of the input we submitted for the strategy plan and operating plan. So it's a good summary of what's in the input, in the overall input.
Anybody else? No. And this topic was done relatively quickly. Thank you. So I'll inform or brief Rulov, and probably as interim chair, you may want to do it if he's not around, or somebody else, or whoever is appointed as interim chair.
So the next 2 points are relating to the appointment of the interim chair and eventually of the new chair, and locks are, in force now, and in fact somebody has already left just in case probably she couldn't, now she said she had to leave earlier. I don't know if she's left or she's coming back. Okay, it's a tough moment of locking the doors. It's like the Big Brother, no? So you're in now, and we have to appoint, there are some decisions for the appointment of the interim chair, and as far as I understood from the briefing I had from Bart, would be nice to come up also with a name for the new chairman.
Let me explain a little bit. As you all know, Rulov is stepping down at the end of this meeting as chair of this working group. If you look at the charter, the way it's done is that the chair of this working group, as with all working groups, is appointed by the CCNSO Council. But this working group has also the rule that the chair is nominated by the working group itself. So it would be nice, as you all know, there is a council meeting on Wednesday afternoon, if you would be able to come up with a name among yourselves, and so the new chair could be appointed at that meeting on Wednesday afternoon. If not, then we probably need to appoint an interim chair until the working group has come up with a nomination. So this is more the... So in fact, there are two questions. First of all, of 2 points. First of all, the working group needs to interact among each other and find, try to select or nominate a chair. And knowing from looking at Rulof's time, say there will be a lot of time involved during ICANN meetings themselves, so that's something that you keep in the back of your mind. So on say, your commitment, if you want to be chair. And secondly, during the meeting, say, during the year, there is a lot, there is, I would say, double the time involved in order to get it done, and there is always the review of the, say, the draft by the chair. So you know, I'm consolidating the pieces, then it's sent to Rulof, and then from Rulof it's sent to the working group members. So that's an additional time commitment. I think if you can't come up with the name of a chair because there are just a limited number of members present, is that at least you come up with an interim chair until such time that the working group. So the first question is, please submit a name for a chair by Wednesday. If that's not feasible, at least an interim chair. And the role of the interim chair, so we just discussed it with Giovanni. Fortunately, between now and Los Angeles, there's not very much happening from an SOP working group perspective. The only point is we need, or ICANN staff like Xavier and Denise, it will need a point of contact, and I need a point of contact to distribute the material to the SOP members when it comes in, and that the SOP chair of the SOP or the interim chair can inform the SOP working group members and the community on the response that we receive. That's my guess. That's the only real administrative role at this stage, and at some stage is updating the council and submitting the name of the person who will be nominated to be the real chair of this working group. So these are the two major administrative roles for the interim chair. But preferably we would like to have a name of, I think, and now we is more from a council perspective, by the end of this week, so we can appoint the new chair, and that will be nice for everybody, appoint a new chair back-to-back with Rulof stepping down.
Peter Harris from Center. I think one of the very essential elements in the work that Rulof did was that he was also on the council, that he was the link with the council, and through the council meetings with the GAC and the board, also the natural link between the work that this group did and the outside world. It also gave some gravitas to the role of chair, very respectfully, of course, of our interim chair at the moment. So my suggestion would be to ask if there are any volunteers at the council before we discuss it any further.
That's another way of approaching it. You could also say it needs to be, say, if you look at the charter, he or she needs to be nominated by this group. And you, of course, can nominate somebody on the council. I fully agree. It's having the liaison between this group and the council is absolutely, or not absolutely, is valuable, very valuable. But it's not a requirement. Say you have some other working groups where the chair is not on the council, but there will always be a liaison. But I agree, it's a valuable asset.
I would just echo Peter's comment and probably try to support it one in another way, that and that's another way of seeing things, but if this group is valuable to the council itself, and it's a standing group, it's not a working group, it's a standing group providing information about where ICANN is heading and how it's operating, and then it should be important to the council to have the chair of the working group within the council. Because those issues we're discussing here are useful, whatever the topic the City Municipal Council is looking at. that is why I come to the same conclusion as Peter, that it is of very strong importance for the Council, but also one way or another for this group, because we're not working only to do contribute to insightful and clever and smart contributions. We love providing Xavier and the team with smart things and useful insights, but we are also working for the CCNSO community. And it would be strange, I think, that the CCNSO Council agrees with the fact that the chair of this group is not one of the Rudolf was the vice president of the CCNSO at some point, wasn't he?
But he was
in the council at least. And I think that matters. I mean, Leslie was a regular contributor within the group while she was a CCNSO chair. That is valuable. And that, I think, is one of the key success factors for this group, that it remains closely linked with the CCNSO leadership. So it's not only for our group to discuss the working group chair. It has to be a closer discussion with the CCNSO leadership, because the way it's connected to the way the CCNSO discussions on whatever, IANA transition, lots of links. Accountability, lots of links. Framework of interpretation, links as well. We have to get this connection running, and so I would welcome a conversation with the council, or at least some council representatives and leading CCNSO leaders to discuss this transition issue. Obviously, it wasn't prepared beforehand. That happens, but let's keep time.
Yeah. Okay. I'll convene the message to say the chairs and the vice chairs.
The others have all the views. I mean, that was just my point.
Leonid Fedorov, .ru. Well, I believe that still we can somehow think of someone from our immediate circle to lead this group, and you know, it will be up to the council, of course, to decide whether the candidacy is suitable and meets all the requirements, whatever. But I think that, we 3 years already have created a certain value within the group, and it would be a shame if we couldn't nominate anyone from the group, like, as if we hadn't seen anyone, deserving this position or lacking certain capacity. So I would suggest that, we have Giovanni, who volunteered for the job. Why don't you think of Giovanni as one of those very strong candidates with all his background, I mean, within the ICANN and with the group and within the community? I think that he fully qualifies for the job. This is my suggestion. Although I have a certain concern, which is, I wonder if we, like six of us, okay, five of us can qualify for a legitimate quorum in this room, because we have...
You could.
Okay. That's fine.
But I think it would diminish the value of your nomination.
But we have Rosalia as well, so that's
but
good.
The point is, it's on the agenda, it needs to be addressed, and that's why I say the solution of an interim chair as well, until such time, and given, say, the discussion on the previous point around the review of the processes, the review of the membership, it's a good thing that, say, that it will be a strong chair with full support of this working group, so it's maybe something to reach out on the email list as well. But it is something for the working group itself to come up with suggestions. And it could be, say, it wouldn't, going back to your point, it wouldn't stop in suggesting or nominating somebody who's already on the council after he or she agreed to do it. And it's to have that conversation with say, the chairs and the vice chairs. But
I'd like to say something because it's Giovanni Jurid, because my name was mentioned, and I am very honored and flattered about this. And I have no problem to, you know, to stay as interim for a while, but I also like to share Mathieu and Peter about the fact that having somebody who's also in the council can really, you know, let's say, take things at the next level, and making sure that the input that we provide and the follow-up to the input is adequately addressed. But also, being in the council would also mean to me that the chairman will have the capacity to listen to a broader group than the working group membership. So it's you know, it's a sort of a double benefit of being able to outreach and also being able to listen. So I'd like also really to share the view of Mathieu and Peter for this.
Maybe Rosalia, any comments?
Well, I think it would definitely be very valuable to have someone from the council. Like, I don't want to repeat what everyone else has said, but I agree with those arguments. I would just be concerned that they are not familiarized with our discussions, so maybe there would be a time where we could update them, or him or her, or, you know, just about the knowledge transfer. That would be the only thing I'd be concerned about. Other than that, I think it would be a great, great value to have someone from the council, and I also think Giovanni would be a great interim person.
Oscar, anything to add? Nothing?
Well, nothing different from what you already said. I was trying to think in something relevant as for the leadership of this group, but I think that we should try to find a good balance between the leadership of the CCNSO in this group and, I don't know, three or four people from the previous times of this working group in order to maintain that information and that history in within the group. So, that will be... Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, he's the chair.
Mathieu, please.
Yeah, Mathieu speaking. Two other very quick points. One is I want to highlight and recognize the extraordinary amount of work that has been done by Roloff as the chair of this group, setting it up, having it run, going through, I don't know, three, four, five different financial systems at ICANN. Only two? Well, there were pretensions that there was actually changing more often than that. But anyway, I'm just joking. There have been rough moments, and his contribution was extremely valuable. And I also want to say that two other people actually provided great contributions. Byron, by being the finance working group chair and interacting with the SOP, and of course Leslie, who was a constant contributor and I know promoter of the group outside of the CCNSO. So that those were things I think are important to state and relay to the council. And then I would like to support Giovanni's appointment as interim chair.
Just may I, Giovanni, just one point and to refine a bit about the argument. If you look at the charter, the chair of the CCNSO is ex officio member of this group. Byron couldn't make it, that's why Alan is here, but so that's in the charter, and in order to ensure the alignment of what's happening in this group and what's happening with the council. But that's just a refinement on the point, and it's well taken on what you said about having somebody from the council who can position the SOP within the council.
I'm sorry for interrupting again, Mr. Chairman, with your permission.
You've taken it.
Going for an interim system, until Los Angeles would also provide time to do what you do when you have a succession, which means defining expectations, what we need from how we see the group in the future, what we expect from the chair and the rest of the group, maybe how we work, and that would be a useful discussion to have with the, some members of the council, even before putting a name, because that's always better when you do succession planning, when you start by actually defining skills and expectations before before putting names on.
Thank you, Mathieu. Bart, so in terms of... Sorry?
Can we unlock the doors?
No, that's not taken. We'll move forward in a way that it's. Am I the interim chair? That's the question. I'm not gonna look for diplomacy to go around the question.
We still have a couple of days, and you have some time to consult with, say, your members. Say, and Rudolf will be around. Is my assumption. I think you can go both, and there is, let me rephrase it, there is a clear tendency of this working group, at least of the members present, to have somebody from the council sit in and take your time to find a real proper chair in order to maintain at a minimum its current understanding of this working group. If that's the case, then say the most likely scenario is there will be an interim chair, and he or she can be appointed by Wednesday. If I have by Wednesday morning a name, then we put it on the agenda. That's more an administrative matter than anything else. So we say the working group members do have the time until Wednesday morning to think through and discuss with the community members at large, I would say, how to move this forward. And then if the solution will be an interim chair, maybe with the, and then the working group itself will have one or two meetings prior to the Los Angeles meeting to really discuss what is needed. So maybe that's the way forward.
So, Bart, I think that the best way to move forward is also to send out an email to the members of this working group, especially in the interest of those who are not present, to make sure that... this sort of procedural way forward is in an email, and everybody knows what's going to be next. Okay.
We'll send an email out so you can see it.
Thank you. And that brings us to the next point, which is the ICANN response to the input we have provided on the fiscal year 2015 operating plan and budget. And as Bart said at the very beginning, we had quite a tight time frame to produce these two documents, one for the operating plan and the second one for the strategy plan. As far as the operating plan and budget comments, there were some elements that have been underlined in the executive summary, which are more or less common to the four sub-working groups that worked on the input on the specific parts of the operating plan and budget. And so I'd like to thank both Xavier and Tarin for being here, and I'd like to hear from you how you intend to respond, what are the next steps. One comment which we spoke briefly before the beginning of this meeting is this alignment between the strategy plan and the operating plan and budget, and it's going to be happening soon in the near future. And then there are some high-level comments that were provided, like basically some concerns about possible contingency scenarios if ICANN doesn't get the revenue that is expecting to get in the future, and also some elements that basically name ICANN to have produced a very good document in terms of outlining the objectives, the goals, and all the other elements of the plan, with some also doubt that some elements are not so clear, like these key success factors, and an invitation to refine those elements in the plan itself. So, again, thank you so much, Xavier and Tallinn, for your availability and for staying with us since the beginning. So I leave the floor to you.
Thank you, Giovanni. We were locked in, so we couldn't go anywhere. Anyway.
I forgot. I don't find the key. Sorry.
Let me start by introducing Taryn Presley quickly, and I'll let her introduce herself a little bit. Taryn is ICANN's Senior Manager for Financial Planning and Analysis, which in other words means reporting, or in other words means she's the one really managing the operations of the budget process, of forecasting processes in the company, of the monthly reporting processes, the quarterly financial statements that we publish every quarter now are also produced by her and her team. So this is obviously a very important role in the finance organization and in the production of the financial information, both from a management standpoint and from a public standpoint. You want to introduce yourself a bit?
You took most of what I was going to say, but hi, this is Taryn Presley, for the record. It's very nice to be here with you. I thank you for extending the invitation. I have been with ICANN just over a year, and I've learned a lot, but I have a long way to go, so I'm very happy to be in these types of sessions where I can learn things. I arrived just after, well, at the tail end of the FY14 budgeting process, so I didn't get a chance to participate too much on that, but I've done a lot with the FY15 budgeting process, and I'm excited to go into the FY16 budgeting process in the next few months, and I look forward to working with all of you and getting your suggestions on how we can improve that process going forward.
Thank you. Jumping quickly, because I think we've taken more time, on the next steps from where we are now. So the public comment process will finish on July 1st, on the operating plan and budget. So from that point, we will consolidate all the comments that will have been received and submitted on the website by then. We will then review those comments to identify the staff resources that we want to be involved in formulating analysis and draft responses on the comments. What I mean by that is there may be comments that are more specifically relative to certain parts of the organization, and we want to make sure that the most competent persons to deal with those comments are the ones who have an opportunity to draft those comments. So we will then consolidate the analysis and suggested responses. We will review them with the management of ICANN. We will then prepare a document that will be submitted to the Board Finance Committee for review. As part of the budget approval process by the Board, a summary of the public comments received will also be provided to the Board along with the recommendation from the Finance Committee on the approval of the budget. In terms of timeline, we're expecting the draft responses to be submitted to the Board Finance Committee to be completed by the end of July. So basically taking about a month to respond, which is longer than we have taken in the past, because in the past we have tried to fit the process of collecting the input and producing the responses in the short time frame between the end of the public comment process and the board meeting that was following a week or 10 days after, which also speaks to part of the reasons why the comments were the way they were as well. So we want to be able to take a different approach in the future on that subject in order to allow an adequate amount of time, intended to be adequate, to analyze correctly the comments, formulate correctly responses, and validate those responses with the BFC on behalf of the board, but also communicate those responses to the board members, to whom it is important to understand what the comments have been prior to approving the budget. So that's the sequence of events. Thank you, not that I'm surprised, but thank you for this group to have submitted their comments early. Versus the official end of the public comment process. You guys made me lie to the BFC because this morning I was telling them that we had not received comments as of yet, but because I stopped my count the day before you submitted yours. So I made that correction and we indicated that the CCNSO had submitted their comments, but we didn't yet have review of them. We have gone through a number of those, of course, with Taryn over the past few hours. I'll focus on the executive summary, the comments that are in the executive summary, and of course we'll go through much more later. I would definitely, after we've done that, I would definitely welcome your input and your comments on the mindset of the overall comments that have been provided. What do you think is the most important, the most significant, what we should maybe focus our attention on in your views, or any color that you would be able to provide behind the document that we have, and that may not necessarily appear as clearly in the document that you think should be emphasized. So from the executive summary, I think the comments relative to the growth of expenses and ambitious or aggressive revenue assumptions are well understood, so we'll take that into account and make sure that we share this information clearly with the Finance Committee, and we will work on formulating a response and taking them into account. I think it's very straightforward, very clear, I think, and resonates very well with Taryn and I. And we'll work on formulating a response on that. I think in doing so, we will also try to provide a certain amount of perspective to, when I say perspective, I mean multi-year perspective to those numbers, which I am assuming will also be of interest with other organizations in the CCNSO. I think the comments that you have made relative to revenues and expenses will be shared by many. If not everyone, so well understood, and we'll take that into account. I should first, I think, thank the members of this group for the positive feedback, not because it's positive, but because it's I think a candid feedback on the format of the information, and you're receiving your feedback on what you think we've done well as what you think we've not done well in this document is very useful, so that we can either continue what works and change what doesn't. So thank you for those comments. It was very useful to know what is well received and what is useful. Noted the comments on distinguishing those projects versus recurring activities as well. This is something that is that we have, since the inception of the management system, gone back and forth a lot within the staff. Carol Cornell, who's in charge of the PMO and manages the structure of the management system at ICANN, at task that we use, has spent days and weeks of interaction with the management and the staff on that very subject. We have struggled. Our initial setup of the system was to distinguish recurring activities from projects. We have enabled some of that into the system, so we have, in the 300 projects that we have, we are able to identify, and Perrin will correct me if I am inaccurate on certain things, but to identify those activities that are more recurring than those that are more project-driven. So I think that we may have a possibility to provide a certain amount of insight on that, maybe within the period of the response to the comment, and certainly going forward, this is something that we need to find a good way to do. It is useful for us from a management standpoint, of course, on an ongoing basis, to be able to distinguish between the two. And it's been challenging to have a clear and very precise way of defining one versus the other. Let me pull up the rest of the comments. There was another one that I wanted to make sure I hit. I have it here. We've talked about the growth of operating expenses and revenues. The comment relative to the IANA stewardship transition and accountability process is one, or the question on having more information about it is one that we've also, of course, received from others. One person published it as part of the public comment process. And just so that you know, with Teresa Swinehart, we've been working in her group, who's organizing the design of the process with the community. We've been working with her group to try provide an itemization and breakdown of the budget part of the plan, so that we can then share that information with the community. Just as a matter of background, there is an amount and a very short breakdown of that amount in the budget document that's been submitted for public comment. Because of the sequence of building the document, that amount really was designed about 3 months ago, about three weeks after the announcement by the NTIA while we were in Singapore. So it was already relatively old even when we published the budget document, because things had already evolved so much, and the public comment process was going on that subject. So certainly today, nearly 3 months after, we have obviously a much different view, taking into account the input, and we're going to have to freeze a little bit when we define this budget, because I know that the content of the project is going to continue to evolve anyway, so that we can provide a response. I do expect we will provide a more itemized a list of costs that that documents then this project from a financial standpoint. That's what I'm reading out of the executive summary. Of course, we'll go into the details of the rest, but I would very much welcome any input or color or thoughts that you would want to share on what I just went over, but also what I have not gone over that you think is of importance. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Xavier. It's Giovanni. Probably good element would be to provide Xavier with a bit more background from the coordinators of the different sub-working groups. That would be Peter and Rosalia and me, who are present here, but also if others like to share more background information to Xavier, to make sure that our input is adequately addressed. Again, the executive summary is a good overview of the key points, but maybe some of the coordinators of the sub-working groups would like to highlight other elements that deserve the attention of Xavier and his team to make sure that
the operating plan and budget is further refined in the coming weeks and months. Anybody? Or shall I start? Okay, I start. I do the volunteer, and I was coordinating this phantom working group of multi-stakeholder model evolution, as basically I understand that the two other members of the working group were probably busy on other subjects, and therefore they didn't contribute as they've done in the past, which is important to underline. So I think that what I've seen in the multi-stakeholder model evolution part of the operating plan and budget is that, again, I can only underline that there's been a great progress against the previous operating plan and budget. What would be important is to introduce a bit more time frame, so to encapsulate the different projects and actions into specific time frames that can be incorporated in the text, so that the community knows when something starts and when something is expected to finish and therefore is expected to be delivered. And at some point, I have noticed that there is a lack of distinction of what is the main objective, the goals, and the deliverables. And there is also an overlap when at some point there is the mention, the reference to the key success factor, that at some point the key success factor is even an activity, an action within the goal, rather than being, you know, something that can make the difference if it's real key success factor. So probably the introduction of the key success factor would have deserved to be a bit more explained, so that people know what is a key success factor according to your. Because when you say to me this is a key success factor, and I do not have any reference parameter to understand what you believe is a key success factor, probably it would have been nice to have this sort of even in an appendix when you introduce this kind of definition or In the let's say sub goals of this objective for multi-stakeholder model evolution, in the goal 4.1, I couldn't help from underlining that when you are referring to the optimization of the policy development process, there is a clear reference to make sure that I can engage more and more with more members, more let's say community participants. What I stress in the comment is that there should be also attention paid to the quality of those participants, because with all respect to what ICANN does, I believe it doesn't make sense to have and I'm saying that very brutally against any diplomacy, to have a 3,000 people meeting, but only, let's say, less than 1,000 people are really participating in the multi-stakeholder ICANN model, because many of the others are, I wouldn't call them figurants, but, very close to people who are passing by in transit, and they are not so proactively participating in the model. And again, yes, they're representing, they're listening, which is extremely important, so it's for the outreach perspective, that's really important, but there should be a moment when I can look also at the, let's say, proactive participation of this enlarged community. Just going through if I missed something. And there were some, there's a comment saying that in the evolution of the SO and AC structures, there is a sentence that says that, I'm quoting, the advancing multi-stakeholder model innovation portfolio will include work to develop and manage process for educating and promoting ICANN's multi-stakeholder model as the preferred and only method of successful internet governance. What I wrote here is that I believe this sentence should be rephrased a bit more to be, a bit more low profile and make sure that the ICANN multi-stakeholder model could be, you know, a model, but not the only model, and therefore to introduce, you know, the perspective that could be other useful and valuable models from which ICANN can learn. So there is a listening component to be introduced in this sub-goal. That's it for my part, and I don't know if Peter or Rosalia would like, or anybody in the room. So, Peter, thank you.
Peter van Roster from Center. I was chairing the group on the that looked into the affirmation of purpose part. And I think I can keep my comments very short. They aren't that long in the paper either. The two essential things to take from this, I believe, are the need for to update the plan to the changing landscape on IANA in particular. I think the group would find it healthy to at least reflect on what would happen in case IANA would not longer be part of the organization as we know it today, or how would that affect the budgetary and financial aspects of it. Taking into account, of course, that we're talking post-September 2015, but which could have a reflection on the plan. The same for the accountability discussions, a reference to the accountability discussions, not just to provide them with the necessary resources, which might be quite substantial, but also a reflection on how this might impact the financial planning in the long term would be healthy. And the last point, so the third point would be on engaging in the internet ecosystem, whereas in the discussion with a few participants in our small group, the question that came up and that when talking to other people did not get properly answered is there agreement that ICANN should be a coordinator of this kind of events, and remember, I think in particular talking about the internet governance related issues, or should it just be a strong contributor, which would change significantly the financial impact of its engagement. So, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Yes, exactly, that's for the record. Can I ask you to clarify what you meant by the IANA possible changes at the outset of, I think, September 2015. And I'll clarify my question in the sense that when this document really looks at FY15 that closes at the end of June 2015, what I wanted to make sure I understand is what perspective or what horizon you think we should take into account in commenting on the resources allocated for 2015 fiscal year, because you're really pointing out, or if I understood correctly, you're pointing out to the step after that, so I wanted to try to make sure I understand, and I'm not saying we should not be talking about it in the document for FY15, but I wanted to make sure I understand correctly your point there.
Well, yes, correct. So the theoretical horizon that we're looking at is beyond this plan. But I've heard your CEO make comments that horizon might be brought forward. So it might actually have an effect on this plan, but maybe that is just too theoretical an option to take into account. But what will definitely happen, even without bringing the horizon closer, is that the discussions and the resources that the organization will spend on participating in those discussions will be significant. And I think an excellent example is the time that IANA people will spend on explaining what IANA is actually doing all across the globe. The outreach efforts are enormous, and they might at least merit a footnote in the plan to make sure that people understand that you're taking this into account, which I do not doubt, by the way.
Thank you, Peter. Rosalia, would you like to provide some background on the work and the input that your working group, sub-working group has produced?
Yes, definitely, Giovanni. Our working group focused on the objective of operational excellence. And we submitted several comments, but I would summarize maybe three main ideas. The first one was the importance of taking into account the stakeholders' opinion. Like throughout the report, it was hard for us to find how ICANN is perceived by the customer or the stakeholder in this case. And we were even surprised to see that at one point where it was mentioned, customer service was mentioned in point 2.3, there was a zero budget assigned to it. So there's an, we think it's crucial that this is taken into account. The other thing we also thought was very important was the breakdown of function operations. There were several points, especially in the 2.2 section, that we thought required a little bit more support and understanding of how the breakdown was assigned. And lastly, we also discussed the idea of professional services, especially in Goal 2.3, since we noted throughout the document that ICANN has been hiring more than 100% of its staff in the last year. However, professional services seems to be something that there's a steep hiring phase still going on, and professional services are still very important, or ICANN is still very dependent on it. So we would just want to understand a little bit about that. So I think those are the three main points that we pointed out in our section.
Thank you, Rosalia. Is there any other feedback we'd like to provide to Xavier and Tarin so they can take home and further digest it before they produce the response? And as there was sort of gentleman agreement about the kind of response we wish to have from them, which is a response that you know, is telling us if certain kind of input we provided is going to be taken on board, and if not, to possibly share with us the reasoning behind why that kind of input has not been taken on board. So that would be extremely appreciated, because that will help us also to produce valid input for the future. Eventually, re-stress what we have already stressed here in this input if it's not taken on board, because there are some sort of beliefs that we will do and stress until we die. So it's really, it's been like that for the past 5 years, so we will not give up. And yes, any other input? Remotely or lively? If not, as time is against us and Denise has just joined us, I'd like to thank again Xavier and Tarin for being with us. And I'll move to the next agenda item, which is fully dedicated to the strategy plan. And yes, it's you. Sorry, it's so brutal Italian. So the floor is all yours. The mic too.
Thank you. So I was told that you'd like to discuss the CCNSO comments that have been submitted on the draft five-year strategic plan, which I'm happy to do if you'd like to go through them one by one, or I don't have any particular prepared remarks. I'm happy to answer any questions and give you informal feedback and also discuss next steps if you'd find that, whatever you find most useful.
So you prefer to stay until midnight?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm yours.
Okay, wow. It's a trap. So, okay, I think that what we said at the beginning of this meeting is that the executive summaries of the two documents we produced, the input to the operating and budget plan and the input to the strategy plan, are more or less faithfully representing what's the content of the two documents and the input provided by the different sub-working groups. I think that going through one by one would be quite time-consuming, but what would be useful is to hear from you how you plan to respond to the input and saying what I just said for the operating plan and budget, that it would be nice also to, if you don't think that something has to be taken on board, because this is just one of the comments that you received. So there are many other stakeholders and community and constituencies that have produced comments, and therefore you have to, you know, it comes a moment when you have to merge everything and say, okay, I take this on board, this not. And but we would appreciate again the reasoning behind, if to know the reasoning behind if something is not taken on board. And I think that just to briefly summarize the executive summary that we produced to introduce you to the input on the strategy plan, basically we have commended ICANN for improving the process and improving also the presentation of the strategy plan. We believe that there are some elements of this strategy plan that deserve further refinement, including the vision statement. And let's say that the comments relating to the vision statements are, you know, the most probably straightforward, so that there is a real invitation to make sure that the vision reflects not only the ICANN mandate, but also what are the main functions to make sure that the mandate is fulfilled. And we also have appreciated the introduction of metrics that can help ICANN and the entire community to better evaluate and assess the work that ICANN has done, and also that ICANN will be doing. We also acknowledge that the entire process of the IANA stewardship transition will basically produce a faster impact, and therefore we you know, would like to see how the 5-year strategy plan is going to be adjusted to reflect this possible impact. So I'll leave the floor again to you. Thanks to you.
Were there other questions or clarifications?
Any other extra? Yes, please. Peter.
Peter Harlosser from Center. Hi, Denise.
Yeah.
I wanted to follow up on the metrics thing, because one of the comments from my sub-team was that metrics are quite often used as a way to measure the means to get somewhere, not to measure the outcome of success. And so it's important to make the distinction between those two different things. And the first is an allocation of resources, a commitment to allocate certain resources. The other is a measurement that will allow later on during any accountability phase that might follow to check whether those means have been spent appropriately. So yes, on the metrics, there are no metrics in the plan, and most of the time they're used correctly, but not always.
Okay, Xavier.
Thank you for that comment. I'll let, of course, Denise answer more, but I want to link your comment to what Giovanni was saying a little bit earlier on the key success factors. Because the way we've tried to design the structure of the management system and the objectives and goals that you have seen in the operating plan is to, for each objective and each goal, to define what success looks like, what successful means for that objective. And that's what the key success factor is trying to capture, to say, how are we going to know that we have been successful for this goal at the end of the 5-year period? And that's a helpful first step to then define what the KPI then can. So I think that we've attacked it in the right fashion to separate the two. What is success looking like, and how then do we measure how do we define the KPIs and measure then the metrics that support the monitoring of how close we're coming to the success. So we've tried to structure, and to your point, Giovanni, it will require more definition and more clarity on key success factors and KPIs and metrics. And we'll take that point with Carol Cornell. But we have tried to distinguish clearly the two so that we don't confuse one with the other. So your point is well taken, and it's helpful to us to have that perspective. But we think we have the right tools as long as we correctly define key success factors differently from what the KPIs are and sometimes what the metrics are. And in doing so, we also try to have a target for the metric that's defined for each period, and then we then monitor the progress against that target. So this is the way we associate the metrics and the KPIs to the operating plan, which will be measured through the dashboard. And because we're using the same structure of the four objectives, the 16 goals, and so on for the strategic plan ultimately, that the link will be then much more straightforward and clear between the two. So I thought it was useful to elaborate a little bit on that based on your comment.
Thank you. Denise, please.
So I guess to address the a number of issues that you raised in your comment, first of all, in case we have any new faces around the table, I've met with this group several times and just also wanted to remind you that that this group has been pivotal in influencing how ICANN approaches strategic planning and, in fact, how we've structured this new five-year strategic plan based, in part on the guidance from this group to really make it a high-level strategic plan rather than an operating plan, to make it forward-looking, to build in specifics on outcomes and metrics and how the work will be phased, to build in more elements for tracking and accountability. All of that we've tried to reflect here. So I want to just remind you of that and thank you for the leadership that this group in particular has provided. It has been very valuable. So to address some of the other points. You may not have seen it, and I'll send the link around to this group so you do. We have cataloged very specifically not only the public comments that we received on the first mission, vision, and focus areas, but also the oral comments that people raised in the session we had in Buenos Aires. Those were all cataloged and all addressed very specifically, and then we went back and posted a document that line by line said specifically how each of the suggestions was addressed, whether it was accepted or how it affected the draft. And that was well received, and we plan on, and although I know this working group did not have an opportunity to provide specific comments on that previous draft, Roloff, the previous chair, did participate in Buenos Aires. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was a coup when I had Giovanni here. Okay. So we have addressed his comments and others, and we plan on using the same approach with this draft five-year plan. We plan on, in writing, addressing every specific comment that we receive on this draft and close the loop in letting you know ultimately how it's reflected and why. So there's that. In terms of the next steps, which you also asked, as you know, the comment period has been extended based on requests not from the CCNSO, of course, but from both the GNSO and ALAC to extend this comment period. We extended it through the end of this month instead of ending before London. As you can imagine, it was based on their request and the just general workload and the additional work in particular that has been placed on both staff and the community as a result of the IANA transition, which was, of course, announced after the draft five-year strategic plan was out for comment. So I certainly note your comment that the IANA transition and the work that's being done around that should be, at least at a high level, reflected in this strategic plan before it's finalized, and that's certainly something the board is planning on doing. So the comment period is scheduled to end at the end of this month. We'll be, considering and analyzing the comments, and ultimately this is a strategic plan of the CEO and the board, and they will be the ones who will be finalizing language and making final decisions about what the final five-year strategic plan will include. We anticipate that under the current schedule we'll take at least the month of July to work on the comments and work with the board to and they will determine how to accommodate and how to update the plan, and then we'll have a final plan to consider and vote on around the August or so time frame. And so we'll be going back out to the community with that work and a response to all the comments. And then we don't have an overhead, but if you go to the ICANN homepage, and one of the quick links is strategic planning. If you click on that link and scroll down on that page, you'll see the illustration that we, Xavier and I, discussed with you at our last meeting about the steady state process once we have a five-year strategic plan. And that sort of steady state process shows the linkage and how the strategic plan will be used as a foundation to develop the year's operating plan and budget, and how we've built into that system essentially a stop and check of what we accomplished, where we are, if there have been any significant changes that warrant tweaking the strategic plan before we move forward into the next fiscal year cycle. So I just wanted to remind you that that sort of stop and check is built in annually to the strategic plan, recognizing that we're doing the best we can to anticipate the environment and ecosystem and other responsibilities and challenges of ICANN, but things may continue to change, and we do have a mechanism in place to update our strategic plan if we need to annually. And did you have a question about? Because I can keep going.
Thank you, Mathieu. I just wanted before your question, in this process of reviewing and coming to a final draft, that's also including the vision statement, a refinement of the vision statement that is one of the most sensitive, let's say, topic that was brought to your attention, because there are some wording that we believe, and again, it will be up to you to say, no, we keep it like that, but preferably with, also sharing the reasoning if you like to keep it like that, but if not,
Right. Yes, it is. I truly and sincerely a direct product of the board. They spent a significant, and I mean significant amount of time, very engaged, a majority of the members offering words and really discussing the details and the implications. No, in all seriousness, I mean they take the vision extremely seriously. They've been very, very engaged in this, and it ultimately will be the board hashing out what the final language will be, and it's particularly useful to get your perspective and additional suggestions on that, and the board will certainly be acting on taking those into account.
Thank you. Mathieu, please.
Yeah, thank you, Denise. I think it's a very good news for people like us in this room to hear that the board is taking his mission seriously in drafting whatever the long-term orientations of ICANNs are, and not only managing whatever fires are to be put out. My question relates to the fact, and obviously it's out of your sphere of influence or control, that this document was drafted before the various announcements and processes about IANA and accountability were launched. And I can imagine it will have an impact on the outcome. I can't see ICANN adopting a strategic plan that would not take this into account right now. That would put us in the same situation we were earlier, that we had a strategic plan that was not exactly the right strategy because at later stage there was unexpected events. How do you see the interaction with the community regarding this extremely important addition? That's my first question. And I have a second one, which is, this is going to add things, and we've been discussing with Xavier that budget was already expanding very rapidly. How is there any consideration given into cost-cutting measures to enable ICANN to proceed without expanding once again an already quickly growing organization. And because that's really staff kind of work to be anticipated to provide options for the board, and I wondered how this was anticipated.
Yes, thank you. Those are excellent questions. And so, as you pointed out, the timing of the NTIA announcement was certainly not within ICANN's control. And we do have a challenge of staggered processes, which I know the CCNSO has referred to and is and very concerned about. I think the reality is if we close on this current five-year strategic planning process around the August timeframe, clearly we're still engaged with the community on determining what the IANA transition will look like and what its implications are. So if we continue with this current strategic plan schedule, then my guess would be that we would contain a high-level statement objective regarding the IANA transition, sort of noting the status, and that certainly would be an item that would then be updated once the IANA, later in the next year, once the IANA transition has been worked out. So I think, at some point, if we're going to close this five-year strategic plan and use it indeed as a foundation for fiscal year 16, then it by necessity needs to be done before the community has made its final input and the decisions have been made on the IANA transition. So by nature, it will need to be addressed and updated after it's closed. Xavier, did you have something you want to add?
Xavier, thank you.
I wanted to ask a clarification to Mathieu on when you say cost-cutting to accommodate the costs of this. Are you referring in FY15 to accommodate the costs of the project of the stewardship transition, or are you talking the phase that will subsequently, whatever the governance will become of the IANA functions, if those create are costs that are incremental to the organization, then are there cost-cutting to reduce the other expenses to accommodate those? That's what I would try to understand. If you were talking basically within the next 12 months or after that or both?
My concern would be rather on the next 12 months first, and then we'll have time to update later. But my concern, and I think it echoes on the community side, the concern about workload. I can't see ICANN being able to add yet another extremely high-level priority and keeping the other ones going. So there are tough choices to be made. There are the boards to be made. But I think there's a very clear message that has to be brought to the board, which is that, yes, we need to choose. There are choices to be made about what to continue, what to stop, what to stall. And I believe, obviously, in ICANN's model, it would be better if there was some community discussion about prioritization before the board makes the decision, but it's a board decision, and it has to be made before we launch into a new, extremely time-consuming work. And obviously, I think IANA and accountability are highest priority when I say that.
Okay. Quickly, Denise, and then I have Leonid and then Xavier, and then we have to wrap up the meeting because I guess there is another meeting coming here. Okay. Yes.
So just quickly to address a couple of your points, then we actually specifically asked for comments and input on the prioritization. We currently don't have the strategic objectives prioritized, and so we're certainly looking for more comment from the public and community on prioritization. And then another note about the fiscal impact of the strategies and the objectives in the strategic plan, that as well as the security, stability, and resiliency impact of these proposed strategic objectives is to be addressed in the development of the subsequent operational plans. So that is not something we anticipate addressing in the strategic plan.
Thank you, Leonid.
Leonid, for the record, are you we don't understand that the mandate of this particular working group is just to provide that bird's eye view of all these processes, current and upcoming. But I believe that, I mean, picking on what Matthew just said, I believe that it might be instrumental and very efficient if we could arrange a very specific, let's say, reality check exercise, like, for example, as far as some pivotal events are concerned, just to make sure that we are on the right track. For example, Net Mundial. Why don't we try to provide, say, some assessment of whatever successes and, well, some other aspects of this event in a cross-community dialogue, let's say putting the people in the same room, I mean representatives of different communities, different groups, not like a public forum, rather some, you know, some audience, some volunteers or whoever they are, to discuss in a very, you know, in a very straightforward and candid manner what they think of the Net Mundial, for example, and just to learn from that so that to somehow streamline the vision and the mission or, let's say, certain directions of the ICANN's operations for the future.
Thank you, Leonid. Rosalia, you have any comment, input?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you well, Giovanni. Can you repeat the question again?
Just like to ask you if you have any comment or input against what Denise and we have been saying so far about the strategy plan process.
No, I think. No, I'm fine. I don't have any additional questions, and I echo what the other participants have said.
Okay, thank you, Xavier. I understand you'd like to add something.
I want to come back to the comment that Mathieu was making earlier. I think you've indicated that there is a prioritization that the organization faces because the IANA stewardship transition, because we've talked about the IANA transition, it's not the IANA transition, it's the IANA stewardship transition. Now, I know I've been slapped sufficiently that now I react and I slap myself. That this is overarching to the organization and to the community and needs to receive the right amount of attention and resources, and as a result, there is potentially a reprioritization to do. And there would be, obviously, operational and therefore financial consequences to that reprioritization. The operating plan and budget document, page 6, unless I'm mistaken, provides a certain amount of view on the subject. So in its comments there, we're basically indicating that the organization needs to focus on that, on the GDD platform development to support the new registries coming on board, on its IT infrastructure that's demanding upgrades, developments, improvements that supports many different things, including operational excellence, and on further developing its contractual compliance capabilities. Those are the four priorities that are underlying to the operating plan and budget for FY15, and is this page 7? 6. So I will tell you that I was a bit surprised to not see the comment that you made as part of the comments of the CC and SO on the operating plan and budget, and I haven't read the comments on these strategic plans, so I expected actually to see that from you guys, but I haven't seen it. And by the way, the public comment is not closed, so if you want to.
Okay, that's really as last minute, huh?
just really shows how the workload on ICANN contributors is too high.
Okay, thank you, Xavier. Is there any other comment, anything else you'd like to address, considering that Denise is going to stay with us until midnight, and we have some time till midnight. So, yes, and...
Denise, you want to add something before we close?
Is there something you'd like me to add before?
Okay, we don't get into personal, and
that's it.
Okay, good.
You know, so I covered the next steps. Is there something else that the group would find useful for me to touch on before we close?
I just like to add first of all, thank you to Denise. Xavier and Tarin for being with us today. We have produced two documents, and we look forward to, you know, to make sure that our input is properly addressed in the future. Probably one element that may also contribute to refresh a bit the process is that as you are going through these, you know, millions of lines of comments, if you feel that you need further clarification, or if you feel that you like to, you know, sit or have an informal talk with us on a specific input we have provided. I don't think we should wait for another comment period to be open, but I would say that as this working group has shown, you know, good valuable input in the, over the years, just feel free via Bart or via, you know, even directly to any of the sub working group chair or the working group chair to, you know, just to ask for additional information or clarification to make it even more proactive and engaging in between the long, let's say, dark months when there is no input, no comment process open, but in probably eventually even in preparation of the new comment period, the new draft. Again, it's an invitation to everybody to engage a bit more.
I really appreciate that because the so informal interaction will be great if we have questions on your comments. But again, the intention here is to process the comments and issue a final strategic plan. So the plan is not to go for another round of comments at this point. It's to close the very long process we've used.
This is exactly. Thank you very much for offering this up, because I definitely see some of the comments in the document that we've received that would warrant clarification, further conversation in order to better address them. So thank you very much for that. I definitely intend to take you up on that. I already have a few questions for Rosalia, I think.
So thanks, everybody, for participating. Thanks to Rosalia for participating remotely. And thank you, Bart, for the help in steering this working group meeting. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.